about it. And when Danny told me he wanted me to come and speak for a few minutes, he said about 10 or 15 minutes. And about everybody says to me on the radio, said, "Preacher, you don't have enough time." And sometimes I wish I had a little more time, but since it's rained outside and drove you inside, why, I might preach longer than 10 minutes tonight, but I won't preach an hour or nothing like that. I'll give you plenty of time. I'm concerned. And Brother Danny, something about the way I preach. I don't intend. I've never tried to be a negative preacher. One fellow said, and I started preparing my message, he said, there's 25 things I put down against, and he said, there's only two I was for, and one of them was for somebody who's against everything. And I don't want to be against everything. But there's so many things that's happening today that I believe with all my heart that God's people need to realize we're in a battle and need to stand four square for God and declare the whole counsel and do what God would have us do. I wish I could paint a pretty picture, but the only hope I have is the coming of Jesus Christ. The only hope, I don't know what God's going to do for America. I know, my friend, that He will not let it continue as it's going now. You can mark that down. We will not be able to continue on the road downward as we're going now. Something's going to happen. Somebody's going to turn this nation toward God, or He's going to pronounce judgments on us. And I believe, so far as I'm concerned, that as long as God's people intercede for the Lord and enough people pray, like God spared Sodom because Abraham interceded and pleaded, but as soon as he stopped, then God rained fire on it. And I don't know whether it's going to be... I'll say a little bit about the finances of our country and the way that we're spending money. But I don't know whether God's going to let us go broke and everybody lose what they've got and fall on their face before God. If they'd do that, if no other way, I said, Lord, let her come. It's better for you to be without a lot of bread and praise God, have a lot of be a plentiful and on your way to hell. We need a nation that recognizes Almighty God, and seems like everybody that comes out for the right, the news media makes a fun of them and calls them a fool and everything else. We're in a battle. We need to know that. God has not got any obligation to save a nation that makes fun of His word and blasphemes His name and continues on in sin and makes a mockery of God. He's not obligated to do it. And you can mark it down. We need to realize and know that God has got a blessing for His people, and we need to know that. But everyone that rebels against God, judgment is going to fall upon them, and sometimes the innocent have to suffer because of the guilty. God's going to do something to get our attention. So Billy Graham, just a while ago on the radio, when he went down yonder to Florida to have prayer with those people down at south of Miami, and in there he said he saw a sign on one of the buildings that said, God, you've got our attention. Well, he got those people's attention, and he can do the same thing all over our nation. He can do something to get our attention. And we need to know that God is still on the throne. The people of God are on the winning side, and you can't lose. You'll trust the Lord. Believe on Him and let Him have His way. I'm going to read some scripture in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. You're acquainted with this scripture because it's a very familiar one. But we're soldiers of the cross, and let's see what the apostle said as he wrote to the church at Ephesus in the last chapter of this little book in chapter 6 and verse 10. He said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand." And then he gives the armor that we're to wear. But will you bow your heads and ask the Lord to help me for the next few minutes, that I'll say something that needs to be said to His people here in this service tonight. Our Heavenly Father, I bow my knee before Thee and thank You for the privilege of preaching the blessed Word of God. We thank Thee that Thou art God from everlasting to everlasting. We thank Thee that You will win because You cannot lose. You never have, and You haven't put up the flag of surrender. And thank You for every soldier that's staying true to Thy blessed name. Now give us what we need to say for the next few minutes, and may we obey the Lord in all that we do. Bless this congregation of people and give a good service tonight, and may Christ be glorified in everything that's done, and we shall praise Thee for it, for we ask in His name, amen and amen. The Christian life is a warfare. The sooner you realize that, the better soldier I think you can be. And I've been fighting devil ever since I got saved. When I reached my 65th birthday, somebody said, "Preacher, you gonna retire?" I said, "I can't retire." I said, "There's no discharge in this army. We're in it for life. And if you serve the Lord, there's no time to sit down. It's time for us to be on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ." In this passage of Scripture, when you find the armor of God explained, it describes a fully armed legionnaire, so to speak, that is clothed with an armor that covers the entirety of the front, but does not cover the back. Now the reason for that is that no time under any circumstance was a Roman soldier to turn and retreat like a coward. He was to go forward for the glory of God. He was to die if needs be. He was to give his life and not give up. And today I say to you that I believe with my heart that the requirements of God's soldiers are kind of like they were in that day in today's warfare. And we're to stand against. When I read this scripture, it says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Do you know what the greatest hindrance to the church is today? It's because people that profess to be Christian people are not standing against things that are contrary to the Word of God. The sorrow to my sorrow that they've retreated and they've compromised and they fell by the wayside. And we need people to put on the armor and stand four square for God and do what God would have them to do. Some who've quit have done it for various reasons, I'm sure. Some of them have become weary in well-doing. Some of them have said the battle's too hard. There's no use. Everybody's against me. And the devil told them that lie. And they said, "I'm just going to quit." And some of them have. But some of them have quit on the inside and still going through the motions to pretend to be something when they're just spinning their wheels. But God wants us to do more than just to go through motions. He wants us to be dedicated enough to Him until our entire existence from morning till night shall be for the glory of God and not to please men on this earth. And may God help us to know that we have a lot of things. Some have compromised for dirty lucre, I'm sure of that. That's brought them down. They've sold out for the dollar. I know a lot of people that used to have power with God, but for some reason it's gone. They've sold out for material gain rather than pleasing Almighty God. And whenever you entangle yourself with the affairs of this life, my brother, you're going to fail. Paul says that a good soldier cannot entangle himself with the affairs of his life and please Him who has chosen him to be a soldier. You're supposed to be a soldier as you fight the battle. The American people today seem like they'll follow any kind of a leader that'll give them a handout and some kind of a gain in this world. We've seen compromised guys. We've said people want more and they want more. Brother, I'm not beating the drum for depression or soup lines or anything like that, but we've had so much now until it's took this nation away from God. And we say to this man that'll give us the most, that's the fellow we want. We don't consider that the moral standpoint is dragging our children to the road to hell, and we've lost them by the thousands and nobody seems to care about them. This bunch of greedy politicians that sit in Washington that vote themselves a raise and try to take all the money and spend and spend and spend that don't care about the immortal soul of Almighty is a disgrace to America that says one nation under God. And it's time that we prayed and we preached against it. Paul said, "Godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and we're certain we'll take nothing out. As we have food and raiment, let us therefore be content." We're living in the most uncontented time I've ever heard tell of. The more people get, the less content they are. But it's because that they're not filled with the Spirit of God and not godly. But godliness, my friend, is great gain. Then, I guess in other cases, there's a lot of soldiers that fell by the wayside whenever they've listened to Delilah, as Samson did when he went out and had his hair cut and didn't know what had happened to him. Vance Havner said he might have looked better with a better haircut. And I think a lot of people would look better if they have their hair cut. But friend, it cost him his power with God. And then in every other cases, there's some that found their Bathsheba like David did and brought a shame and disgrace on the cause of Christ. This is one of the reasons there's so much open cynicism from the world against the church is because a bunch of professing people, preachers and evangelists that claim to be something have sold out their soul to the lust of the flesh and they've destroyed the power of God even in the lives of others. Some of these leading evangelists with their greed And when you see people like Jim Baker with his greed and his girlfriends and doing what he's done, and Jimmy Swaggart out riding the streets of a night looking for a prostitute and then crying and pretending to rent, and then the news media, don't you think, brother, that this crowd that's against the church, that they don't glory in such as that, and they want to portray it, and they want to pick out every preacher they can and say that's the way all of them are? But I want to remind you, God's still on the throne, and they still a few soldiers that God, they still some that's got the victory, they still some that's wearing the armor, they still some that's declaring the counsel of God. And I praise God for every one of them. And when Jesus comes back to get us and take us out of the church, I think he'll still find faith on this earth. Now, whenever people see folks that profess to be Christians, it causes them to mock the Lord instead of praising the Lord. And so if you profess to be a Christian, you be a good soldier. We've got a tragic pile of casualties today all over this country in the religious world. But thank God for some who will still stand, still stand. The Bible said, put on the armor of God and stand against, still stand. God wants you to stand in this present day. We need to stand still against the sins of our government today. If there's any government official that needs our prayer, it's the man who wants to stand for the right. Now, I'm not trying to be political. You better forget about Democrats and Republicans when it comes to right and wrong. You better realize that you're supposed to be more of a Christian than you are a politician. If you are a soldier in the army of God, your allegiance is the King of Glory. It's not to some politician that's on this earth or some political party that lives here. Your allegiance is to be to Almighty God and to trust in Him. It doesn't matter to me whether he's Democrat or Republican or independent or whatever his name is. If he's standing for the right, I'm going to pray for that man. If he's against what's right, I'm going to preach against it. I'm going to stand against it. And we need some folks today that will stand against it. You need to forget political. I heard Clinton say this week, he said, I'm a Baptist. Well, he's not like some. He must be that bunch of Baptists that the Southern Baptists kicked out because they condoned homosexuals and wanted to ordain and marry. That must be the kind of a Baptist he is. I'm not interested in that kind of a Baptist. We need to stand against that so far, and of course those who will just spend money, and your tax dollars are paying for killing little babies. Your tax dollars are paying for doing things that are wrong, and you can't do a thing. We need to clean house. I don't care what you think, brother. It's time that those that are saying, a Supreme Court that's supposed to stand for the right and uphold the teaching of the Word of God have compromised and sold out and condoned pornography and homosexuality and gay rights and everything else, until if this nation's saved, it won't be because of the politician. It'll be because of the soldier of the cross. You've got an obligation. Every dollar that they spend and collect, they're taking it. Did you know that it's cost over $1,000 for every person that lives on this earth? And the national debt is piling up and piling up. In fact, there's no use in us fooling ourselves, neighbor. We can talk about balancing the budget and all we want to. Do you know what it'll take to balance the budget? It would cost $1,000. Somebody told me this. I don't have that much money to stack up. Somebody said, I don't even know what $1 million would look like. But they said if you stacked $100 bills, one on top of the other, he said if you had $1 million, it'd be 6 foot high. But said if you went to $1 trillion, it'd be 6 mile high. And we just rolled over another trillion. In 5 more years, according to statistics, it'll take every dollar that's being given, collected for taxes. And then if somebody gets in, they're going to take not just a little bit of what you got, they're going to take half what you got, and a little more than that. And it still won't even balance the budget. From the time that Jesus Christ was born in this world, in the year 1 A.D., until 700 years from now, at $1,000 a day would not pay the national debt. You think about that. You need to depend on some political party to get us out of this mess. We've got ourselves into it. We've spent and we've spent and we've said, give me more, a false economy, and all time a bunch of vote themselves a raise and so greedy that they have to have and they have to have that and say we want more. Sooner or later, you precious young children are going to have to suffer the brunt of it. I hate to say that. I didn't get this white hair for nothing. I've lived a while in this world, and you have lived in a day, and God has blessed you until you don't know what it is to be without. I remember when we didn't have it, but we had peace of mind, and people loved God and loved one another, and they had time for one another, and now we've got so much we don't have time for God and no one else. May God have mercy on us. Yes. I didn't see what time it was when I started here. Maybe I've went over time. You know, that's the good thing about preaching here. You don't cut us off when we're on the radio. I know they're going to cut me off anyway. But now, I'm not a Catholic. But I've got more respect for a Catholic than I have a baby-killing abortionist. The people who are out to destroy the lives of little unborn children that have no part in this greedy bunch of politicians that's taking your tax money to pay for such as that. And then they'll say, I want to do what is best for the child of the devil. They'll tell you all everything else. They'll promise everything to get in. And you know the kind of people that the world wants today? I don't want to start calling names, but when Dan Quayle come out here a while back and says that this Murphy Brown stuff is a disgrace, and he said it's not a good example that we're setting before people, and then he's been attacked by the news media and everybody else ever since that time, and he's right, whether you like Dan Quayle, whether he can spell, hater or not, brethren, he's standing for the right more than a lot of people I know. You know who won the Emmy Awards? Candice Bergen and Roseanne Barr. I never seen none of her programs. Never have seen, but I've heard enough just with interviewing her. She's one of the most vulgar mouth, blasphemous people that live, and that's the kind of people this world wants. They're the one that gets first place. Oh, we're in the minority. But thank God if you're on God's side, you're a majority. We can't lose if we're still on God's side. God may knock this nation flat of her face, and he may have to. But I'll tell you, we need to pray and ask God to have mercy on us and realize that we're living in trying times, and this new age movement and this secular humanism and this corrupted government is taking us farther away from God every day. And as Danny said a while ago, it's going to balance us out as to which side we're on. It's time for you to take sides for the right. If not, get out of the war. Don't pretend to be a soldier. You're supposed to stand against some things. Put on the whole armor of God. If it costs you your life, rejoice in the fact that you're able to give something for the cause of Christ. Amen. We need to stand against some of this stuff that's being taught in our public schools. Right. You hear the news out of this week about what happened to a teacher over there in Buncombe County? I don't guess you know the whole story. The principal of that school, Fred Ivey, used to go to my church when I pastored over in Swannanoa. But there was a drama teacher in school that got a script that was so filthy and had so much profanity in it and was condoning homosexuals and had the high school people smoking, and she never asked the principal about it and put on that thing in drama, and he said, you've got to be moved. We can't have that stuff going on in the school, and they tried to crucify that man. I was glad they upheld and they wouldn't let her come back, but my daughter who works for public school says he'll lose his job next year. If you stand against God, you better have the armor on. You better wear everything that you can. You better pray every day. You better believe that God is on our side and the devil is out to get us, and we're in a war. It's a war for your children. It's trying to destroy their minds. And it's no wonder that they don't want the Bible in the public school. You know why? The Bible said, how can two walk together except they be agreed? You can't teach evolution that we come from a monkey and teach that homosexuality is right and condone such ungodly things that's going on and still teach the Bible in school. You can't do it. So they've thrown the Bible out and we'll take the evil. It's not easy. It doesn't look encouraging. But we're supposed to stay with God, be on the Lord's side, trust in Him. And if you don't want the Bible to be your room guide, don't profess to be something. Some of these preachers have been a whole lot better off if they never had us started. They're afraid they'll hurt somebody's feelings. There was a time in our life, and you know what's the matter? People don't know which side we're on. When old Elijah walked out before that crowd, he said, if God be God, let's serve Him. If Baal be God, let's serve Him. And the Bible said the people answered Him not a word. They didn't know what to do. They stood or looked at Him. But I'll tell you, neighbor, when he went on that mountain and called the fire of God down out of heaven and devoured their sacrifice, they said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." We need somebody today that'll stand, still stand, and won't compromise and say, "The Lord, He is God." Now, whenever he got relieved the world and his friend Elisha went out with him and wouldn't leave him and watched him, and whenever he was taken up by heaven in a chariot of fire, the Bible says that Elisha looked and says, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." You know what he really was saying? You're worth more than all the chariots and the armies that Israel's got. You're the one that's held us together. And I want you to know, friend, that a good soldier of Jesus Christ that's willing to lay life on the line, that won't compromise, can preserve us. And unless we've got some soldiers, I believe judgment's going to fall sooner than you think it is. Will you be a good soldier of Jesus Christ? Are you going to be like some of these fancy preachers running around their silk shirts and $500 suits and diamond rings and Rolex watches and telling God's poor little saints how to suffer for Jesus and trying to get them to send them more money? It's a disgrace and a shame. God wants soldiers. He don't want little sissy preachers. He don't want sodomites that's trying to lead his people. He wants somebody that'll believe the Bible and stand against sin, murder, born and unborn, whatever it is, that'll uphold the Lord Jesus Christ, that'll stand against the wiles of the devil. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. It's against principalities. It's against principalities. It's against people in high places. And this is the most important year, my friend. I believe that you have to stand for your convictions. If you're not registered to vote, get out there and vote. And you go vote for what's right. You don't even have to pull a lever for one party or another. You just need to know what the candidates are standing for. I repeat, I'm not trying to be political. I'm just trying to be Christian. I'm just trying to tell you what's right and what's wrong. And may God help us to be good soldiers. Good soldiers. Not compromise. Don't be convicted of treason because you let down the captain of your salvation, because he's going to win. Let me say this in closing. God's people are going to win. He may come and jerk us out of this world and take us home to glory, but we're going to win. You're not on the losing side, but if you compromise with the devil, you will lose. But you trust the Lord and let him have his way. May God help you to have a good night. I hope you'll forgive me for leaving and not being able to stay and enjoy the rest of this good service. But I have to preach about three times tomorrow. And somebody said the other day, said, "Can you do this, can do that?" I said, "Well, I can't do as much as I used to. My parents won't let me. Father Time and Mother Nature." But I still want to keep going. So God bless you, Danny, for letting me spend some time at your church. I pray for you folks. Remember this old preacher, that God will use him the balance of days, and Jesus may come before morning or before I get a little longer when I'm up my pastorate. I'd rather the Lord come and get us. That's the blessed hope we have. Let's live right, serve God, be ready to go when Jesus comes, and put on the armor of God and stand. Because God will be with you if you will do it. God bless you.
Preacher is speaking the truth. And he's backing up what he says with the Bible. He's right. And he has every right to say what he says. As you know, some of you at the bookstore know, I got a phone call, I believe it was day before yesterday. And a lady was just raking me over the coals. She blessed me out. I didn't hardly get a word in. And she immediately started in and said, "Preachers ain't supposed to mention politics." I said, "The Bible don't say that." She said, "I'm sick and tired of going to church and hearing about politics." And I said, "I think I know why. Who are you for?" And she was sick and tired of hearing her candidate put down. And I'm not here to do that tonight, lift up anybody, put down anybody. But as I'm sitting in revival meetings, I can do vote for in 30 seconds. And brother, I am a preacher. Y'all, people up here, I pastored this church nearly 16 years, and everybody here knows me. I very seldom mention things like this, but the pressure is on us this time. It's so critical this time. Things are hanging in the balance this time. In 2 months from now, our nation's going to take a step one way or another. Not for political candidate or against a political candidate, for values. We're either going to vote to kill babies or we're going to vote to leave babies live, let babies live. And that's what I told this lady on the telephone. I said, "You believe?" She said, "Well, I don't believe nobody has a right to say." I said, "You believe anybody has a right to kill a baby?" And she said, "No, I don't. But I think we ought to help some of these that's a living." And I said, "I think we ought to help some that's living too. And our church does. When somebody comes to this town and needs help, we have to ask our deacons. The social services refer them to our church. They go to social service, they send them down here. And I want to tell you something. I believe in helping people to live. I also know why little kids don't have help. Either mom and daddy won't work or spend it all on drugs or alcohol. Our town made the big mistake about 10 years ago of putting our approval on alcohol. It's been a sorrier town ever since. Businesses have closed. Economy has went down. I ain't seen one new business related that alcohol has produced or any new parks for our children. Crime has not went down. Problem not went down. We have 3 shopping centers in Marion, North Carolina. 2 of them are empty and the other stores just move around from one shopping center to the other. And we call that progress. Once in a while we get a new store. They're all upset now about Belk's going out of business. Belk's on Main Street, been here all my life, I guess, going out of business. Everybody said, "Oh, it's a tragic loss for our town." I wanted to go uptown and say, "Why don't you fill it full of beer? Put wine on the shelves of Belk Brewing Company and sell it. It's supposed to prosper a town. Put in all the empty stores." Listen, brother, when everybody starts selling, nobody's making any money except a few individuals. Now, the Bible says, and you don't have to turn to it right now, the Bible said in Proverbs 22, not to remove the ancient landmarks that your fathers have set. Our country tonight was founded on some ancient landmarks. Our young people are not being allowed to find out their true roots. I preach a lot to young people and about young people with problems. And many parents come to me nowadays and they say, "Preacher, if I could just get my teenager to hear you preach, I believe the Lord would help him. I had a boy last night down there in that service after I got through preaching. He had on a black shirt, black pants, black shoes, black socks, totally dressed in black. While there is nothing technically wrong with the color black, here is a sign of something. When a person wants to dress in all black and wear silver jewelry, it is a sign that they're being influenced." You notice how popular silver jewelry's got lately? Now, every store you're in, a silver jewelry with the little blue turquoise looking rocks on them and things like that. Now, technically, nothing wrong with that. Technically, nothing wrong with silver jewelry. But in Satanism, that's what's popular. The color of black clothes to offset the white robe, of course, of the Lord Jesus and the saints of God. And then the silver jewelry, because gold represents deity and the Lord in the Bible. They want to know why their kids are committing suicide. They say there's warning signs. If you see your kid carving strange signs that look like this on their hands or anywhere on their bodies or in their rooms. And we just had a death of a young man here about 2 years ago. They found all kind of this kind of stuff in his bedroom, under his bed. They still don't know exactly what happened in that case. They say there's warning signs that parents should look for. Changes for the worse in personal habits. Dirty clothes. Messy room. Decline in school achievement. loss of interest in activities, sports and so on, that used to give pleasure. Quick to tears. Increase in sadness and moodiness. Changes in sleep behavior. Too much sleep. Too little sleep. Too fitful sleep. Or getting up real early in the morning and not being able to go back to sleep. Excessive use, alcohol, marijuana, or other drugs. When they start talking of death and dying and how good it would be to die, even if it's joking, then a sudden withdrawal from friends, family, moping around the house. Their skin gets real white where they don't even go out in the sun and play or exercise anymore. You go to the malls and you see young people with their skin's white as my shirt. And they're just sitting there like they're anemics. And their clothes are weak. They have no hope. They have the strange markings on their flesh. Rings and bunches of rings in their ears and nose. Something has happened in American young people tonight that we've lost our values. We've lost our purpose for living and for being alive to start with. Something's happened bad in our nation. We're getting the props knocked out from under us. That's why the Bible said not to remove those old ancient landmarks which our fathers set. Let me talk just a little bit, just for about 10 minutes, and I'm going to let you go. And have some time to fellowship and drive home tonight. Let me talk just a little bit about our forefathers and how our nation got to where it is tonight. Have you ever wondered that, where our nation started? Did you know that the term separation of church and state was never mentioned, is not mentioned in the Constitution? Did you know that most people say they get that from the First Amendment? But the word church, the word separation, or the word state, neither one is mentioned in the First Amendment. That didn't come about till the 1800s, and they begin to put the pressure to push God out of our society. George Washington said many, many years ago, the United States has endured now for over 200 years. Do you realize during this same 200 years that France has changed its form of government 7 times while the Constitution of the United States has stayed the same? Do you realize that Italy, for example, has changed its form of government 48 times while we have had our Constitution? They said that a group of political scientists at the University of Houston got together. They decided that they would find out what made the Constitution so great. They said, why is this document greater than all the documents of history? Why has it lasted 200 years in modern time? They dug and studied for 10 years. They collected 15,000 quotes from our founding fathers. They reduced these 15,000 to 3,154 that they felt had the greatest impact on our Constitution being formed. There was 3 men quoted most in those 3,154 quotes. There was a man by the name of Blackstone, a man by the name of Joneski, and the man by the name of John Locke. But out of all those 3 men, they quoted 16 times more from the Bible than all 3 of the leading quotes in their nation's history. That is, if you took the 3 leading men who influenced the Constitution more than any other men, the Bible was quoted 16 times more than those 3 put together. Anybody that gets on television in a classroom and tells you that our nation was not founded by a bunch of people who believe the Bible and is one nation under God, serving God, is either very ignorant or very crooked, or maybe both.
our nation tonight was founded by people who believed the Word of God. Another 60% quoted men who used the Bible. Do you realize that that fellow Blackstone, he had the standard book on textbook of law for 160 years in America from 1758 up until not very too many years ago. If a man was going to become a lawyer, his textbook was Blackstone's book on law. Do you know where he got that textbook? He got it from the Bible, and he said he backed up his laws with divine law. It was so much that there's a young man went to school to become a lawyer one day by the name of Charles Finney. And Charles Finney got to studying, and he got in there and began to study his law books, and it had so much Bible in it that Charles Finney got under conviction from his textbooks in the school and got saved, and he's become one of the greatest preachers in American history. He was the Billy Graham of his day, and he got saved sending his college textbooks to study law. You think they get that nowadays at Yale or Harvard? Do you heard of a guy getting saved out of his textbooks? No, you hadn't. 94% of the quotes were from the Word of God. 34% directly from the Bible. You know, they got studying about how our nation was set up. They said, why has the United States lasted as long as it has? They said the reason why that Constitution divided those powers into three separate frameworks. And neither one was able to interfere with the other one. Now, let me tell you something tonight, young people. Listen to me. You'll never hear this at school unless you happen to have a good Christian teacher that slips it in. This Constitution was never written, or the amendments were never tacked on to keep your Bible and God out of the classroom. It was never intended to keep God out of the church or out of the government. The Constitution was given and emphatically stated that the government could not step into the church and impose it on the worship of God. That's why that we have the Constitution of America. These perverts now have twisted the meaning of what our fathers intended for it to mean. You know what they say? They said the Bible, if we let the Bible in our schools now, it might cause psychological problems with the young people. But I'll tell you one thing, I know what it'll cause problems for if the pervert standing behind the desk that's living like the devil and shacking up and drinking and carousing around. That's what it causes problems for. And it ought to. Teacher is a homosexual, the Bible will cause them problems. Amen. Buddy, I'll tell you what, 100 years ago, if they'd have found out one of the school teachers was messing one of the kids, there wouldn't be no vote as to whether or not they kept their job. You say, boy, I didn't know I was going to get in a political rally tonight. Well, you never know what you're liable to get in when you come here. We're liable to do nothing but shout tomorrow morning and talk about heaven. There's you something if you need it. Right here, you can come down here and cry. Now, I'm going to tell you what tonight, brother. Listen, let me give you students your Bill of Rights. You have a right to meet with other religious students on any campus in America. You know what that's called? The Equal Access Right. You say, they told us at my school we couldn't do it. Some! Take them to court! God's people sat around too long. You know what I mean? It's about time that God's people sat up and said, we've got some rights. We've got some rights. We've got some standards. We live here too. We've got a right to believe in our God and preach our Bible and worship God and pray anytime we want to. Second, you have the right to identify your religious beliefs through signs and symbols. You can wear them t-shirts at school anytime you take a notion. Tell them to call me if they don't like it. I'll be in revival next week. But I'll leave it on my answer machine. You leave them kids alone, you rotten hypocrite. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. What's the matter? Your conscience boring you or something? How come they can come in there with perverted symbols on there and all kinds of filth on there and nothing's ever said, not a word's ever spoke, and here comes somebody with Jesus on the cross? That offends somebody. Well, let me tell you what offends us. We're offended by high school students at McDowell High having to sit and watch dirty dinks and on the classroom time by taxpayers' money paying the teacher's salary. We're offended by them having rock bands at East Junior High and dances that students are made fun of if they don't go. We're offended when our girls want them dressed decent in school and the teacher makes them dress indecent and parade their flesh in front of the whole school. That offends us, and we pay taxes and we got a right for what we believe. Tell you something else you've got. You've got the right to distribute religious literature on campus. Quote, distributing literature on campus may not be restricted simply because it is religious. You have the right to pray on campus. You may pray alone or with others as long as it does not disrupt school activities and is not forced or imposed on other people. There's been cases where kids took their Bible to school and laid the Bible on their desk, and the teacher made them put it up. You have a right to carry or study your Bible on campus as long as it don't interfere with your school work. They can take Motor Trend car magazines. They can take Mad magazines. I tell you, it bothers me that people, they'll keep kids out there at a ball game 11:30 and 12 o'clock at night. And then fuss, say you shouldn't go to church on Wednesday night till about 8 o'clock or 8:30 because they can't get their homework done. Oh, I tell you, brother, we've got some rights too. You've got a right to be exempt from any activities or class content that contradict your religious beliefs. You sure do. You have the right to celebrate or study religious holidays at school. You have the right to meet with school officials. I'm not trying to get you to cause no trouble tonight. I don't believe in making trouble. You don't see me out here going to hunt. But I think it's a pity that God's people let people just run over us and cram their beliefs down our throat and don't take a stand somewhere. You must take a stand. I'm not saying go out and look for a fight. Stand for God. The fight will find you. I promise you. Man, that woman that called me this week, I don't know where she's coming from. I don't know if I ever had her. She never would even tell me who she was. I want to tell you something this evening, church and visitors. If the Lord don't come in the next 10 years, we're going to see some mighty dark days. We're going to see some dark days. I got to thinking. You know, the Lord, I prayed. I kind of knew in my heart all day it's going to rain, but I thought it was going to quit. I said, now, every evening this week, it'll rain about an hour and then it'll quit. And as last I heard, it still ain't quit. Maybe now. And I thought, well, Lord, you bound to have a reason for that because God's in. You know, I was thinking a while ago when somebody testified, we was all in here singing. You never know what the Lord might have done out there tonight. What if? See, them people going up and down the road, they don't know we're in here. They see a sign up, cars parked everywhere, and all them empty chairs out there. I thought about that a while ago, didn't you? And I said, man, I bet you have some people. Oh, no! It's happened! They're liable to be down the road all over the place in the night. I've been left behind. Last time I went to that church, he preached about that. Oh, my soul. Well, that's where it's going to be one of these days. I'll tell you what would blow their mind if the Lord did come tonight and all these lights is left on, all these seats is empty, all them chairs sitting out there, God's people gone. That's why the preacher said God's people's going to win in the end. You don't want to talk about Jesus? You don't talk about hell? They say in hell it's endless, agonizing, painful torment. Have you ever thought about what it'd be like in hell? This devil in this world, you're going to join him in everlasting fire? Where liars, cheaters, murderers, adulterers, God haters and Bible deniers will live forever and ever. Somebody said, I've got a friend who would really love to meet you. My friend can take you further than you'll ever go. He'll never leave you and he'll never deceive you. He's got so much love to show. He's answer to the problem. He's a shoulder from a storm. He's a candle in the window. He's a road that'll take you home. My friend is Jesus, and he's all you need to know. I hope tonight, if you know the Lord, that you'll get close to him. And if you don't know the Lord, that you'll get saved. We're in a fight. We're in a battle. I agree with what the preacher said a while ago. Like I said, this is not a political rally. This is a church service. If God's people don't register and get out and vote and do what's right, buddy, we're hurting come a couple of months from now. We're hurting. And I can tell you who to vote for. All you got to do is find out who the news media makes look good and vote for the other man. You got the right one. You got the right one. Because you can tell which one they're pushing. You can tell. You can tell by the pictures. Here's one. Here's the other. Got that possum grin. You know, all politicians do that. And that's all you got to do. You can tell. Well, you say, well, I don't like it. You must be for the possum. Start you a church, get you a big crowd of people, and preach it to them. Tell them vote for whoever you want to vote for. I think that's up to the individual. I know there ain't no one man going to save us. But God have mercy on us. We need some help from somewhere. All right. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. We just kind of had a little Labor Day celebration tonight. It's good to be saved, good to fellowship the brothers and sisters in Christ. And tonight, maybe God spoke to your heart. We wouldn't want to leave here tonight without giving you the opportunity to come and get your heart right with God. While the piano plays softly tonight, if you feel the tug and the need in your heart tonight, God spoke to you through the message or through the singing, or maybe you just got a heavy burden, we want to end the service prior tonight. Just get up and just get out of your seat and come on down here and around the altar and we'll pray before we go. Just get up and come. Amen. Amen. That's right. Come on. Amen. If you need to come tonight, come on. Amen. Come on. God may be speaking to you. If you need to get right with God, just come on. Maybe God's dealt with your heart tonight. Come on. Maybe God's dealt with your heart. Just come to the altar right now. Young lady. Young man, you know you're saved? Do you know you're saved? You know you go to heaven if you died tonight? If you don't, you better be finding out. You say, boy, I've seen some of those young people tonight, preacher, and they act like they're really happy about being saved. You can have it too. You can have it too. God dealing with you tonight, is he? We're going to pray in just a moment. Father, do what ought to be done. Oh, Lord God, we stand before you tonight. Thank you for every song that's been sung. Thank you for every word that's been said for your glory. God, thank you, Lord, for the good spirit here tonight. We pray, our Father, that you'd bless now these on the altar. Lord, give them what they need. God, I don't know what their need is tonight. Lord, I know some of them's carrying a burden, maybe carrying a heavy load. Oh, God, speak to them tonight and help them, Heavenly Father. Oh, Lord, I pray, please touch them, Jesus. Touch them, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, we know we're living in perilous times. We know, God, we're living in wicked days, terrible hours. God, we know we're living in a day when they're seeming like just pushing you and your word just back in the corner. Oh, Lord God, help us. Have mercy on us. Have mercy on us, oh God. Lord, do what ought to be done in our hearts. We'll praise you. We'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Now, these are still praying.